All right, yes, the car team are Abdul Haqqat Sada and Adil Miam. But before that, our engineer, Brother Vidal, says a short air break. When we come back, inshallah, we start with the car program. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you once again. Yes, this time it's the car program, the Revitaf car program on Radio Islam International. In the studios with us is our guests, Abdul Haqqat Sada and Adil Miam. Yes, Abdul Haq, we start with you today first, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan once again for the opportunity. Alhamdulillah, it's actually such a pleasure to come in today. We got our favorite engineer, Brother Bilal. Brother Adil is revving up here next to me. Mawlana Kara is sitting in front of me. Alhamdulillah, what a pleasure. It's a full house. And I'm sure everybody's revving to go. And I see a lot of you guys didn't get your questions in last week. So inshallah, I'm going to sit back, relax, enjoy where Brother Adil answers the questions today.
Adil, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh as well.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Masaf to all our listeners. Alhamdulillah, like Abdullah said it, I mean, every time he comes, he says the same thing. You're not going to answer no questions, but then he carries on answering all the questions.
Adil, mashallah, looking like one of the Formula One drivers today, Bilal. Look at his shirt on Petronas and Alliance and Mercedes and Puma and all these things engraved on his shirt. Like but one of those Formula One drivers today.
He needs to change his helmet, Mawlana.
Mazhar, but we can shout out that Mercedes-Benz Petronas won the Constructors' Champion. So, you know, so Mercedes-Benz are the tops this year. So we're just waiting for him to win the Drivers' Champion, so then he tops all around.
Okay. He's actually been sponsored by McLaren.
Jazakallah, yeah. Adil Miah has been sponsored by McLaren. Anyway, number to call for the course, sorry, no course, for the program tonight, inshallah, for the car program. It's 082-580-8070. And the SMS number for tonight's program, it's 48855. And alternately, 082-580-8070. Brother's question coming through. Yes, the brother says the car's slowing down very quickly. It says, I've recently noticed that in my 2006 Ford Fiesta, it slows down very quickly. And if I put the clutch down, and it's more gradual if I take my foot off the accelerator. It's not all the time, but it happens a few times recently. Also, it further says, when moving off on a flat surface with no brakes applied, the front right makes a noise almost as it's locked on briefly, then it releases. I park it on a hill, and when I first bought the car, it would roll. If I let it now, it stops on the hill with no brake applied. It's a long story. Any advice, my brother?
Gee, Mawlana, it sounds rather typical of what the symptoms are typical of brake binding, what we call brake binding. There's a couple of possibilities. If he had his brakes recently overhauled, or somebody worked on the brake pads, or whatever the case may be, there's a possibility that they put in, maybe there's something not fitted correctly or something like that. The other possibility exists that there is some form of seizure on the caliper on that particular wheel.
Yeah,
and that's obviously resulting in not an instant release from your brakes. The minute you leave your pedal, the piston that is in the caliper is not coming back. So with the result, it is holding the brakes a little longer than normal. These are the probable causes. The important thing to have a look at is, if you haven't had your brake fluid replaced in a while, it would be good that you flush out the system and, with new brake fluid and obviously bleed the system, because a lot of times brake fluid somehow, I don't know, it's got this some sort of magnetic thing to it that it draws all the moisture and the dust out of the air. That is why when you're using brake fluid, you will see on the container in your car, it says used only from a sealed container. Because if a brake fluid has been open and standing open for a while, it loses its property rather quicker than other fluids. The possibility is there. The other thing is, one more thing that comes to mind, Mawlana, is that the fact on the caliper itself, that is a floating caliper. What we refer to that as a floating caliper, because it's got little pins that slides on there. Mm. And maybe those pins are also, collected with marks, or with the result, the caliper is not moving freely.
Lovely. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. My question is about, I just want to know, between a Quashqa and a Nissan Monaro, which one's a better buy?
Qashqai and Murano.
Yes. Yeah. Buy both. Adil, your views on this, Adil?
Jim, also, are they diesels or petrol?
Petrol.
So the Murano, do you know the what size engines do they have?
3.5.
Are they both
3.5? I think they're both 3.5.
The Munaros, you only get them in petrol.
Yeah, the Murano. Petrol, it's not a Munaro, it's a Murano.
Murano.
M-U-R-A-N-O. Murano. Nissan Murano.
I think what sisters should do is test drive both of them. I mean, they're both good vehicles, but to me personally, I prefer the Murano because it's it's much more better looking than the Qashqai. The Qashqai, it looks awkward to me. Doesn't look very appealing on the road. But the Murano looks more of an appealing vehicle, I mean, if you want to look better in your car. So I think what you should do is drive both of them and see which one is more will be more beneficial to you. Like, see which one is more comfortable, like driving the car, parking the car.
And the price difference in the car, sister? Also, yeah.
The Munaros, they're looking cheaper than the...
I don't think they make them anymore.
The Murano?
Yeah.
Somehow the Qashqai is a bit more popular.
Yeah.
The Qashqai is a bit more popular amongst people. So, yeah, I suppose there must be a reason. Have you perhaps seen anybody driving a Murano or a Qashqai? I would advise, if you know, if somebody you know or somebody that looks friendly enough, pull them over and say, listen, I'd like to buy one like this. What's your opinion? I mean, how happy are you with the car? And that would give you a very, very good and close indication as to what that is. And more importantly than that, obviously, you've got to make istikhara as well.
All right. An SMS coming through, sister, from Brother Ismail. Jazakallah, Brother Ismail, for the information. Sister says maintenance on the Murano is very, very expensive.
There you have it.
True.
All right, sister, you've got to consider that Ismail.
Jazakallah.
Yes, maintenance in the Murano is very expensive, so
whatever looks better is more, yeah.
Maybe go for the Qashqai.
As I said, Murano, the Qashqai somehow is more popular.
Yeah, that's why
I am currently
popular.
Maintaining a couple of Qashqais.
Yeah.
Murano, not really, but like you said, I don't know, maybe everybody's scared of the maintenance as well.
All right, sister.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Lucky Barakah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, let's go on further. The question stating here, the brother says he's got a fuse problem. He replaces the indicator fuses all the time. What happens is they work for a short while, a week or two, and then there is no signals.
Yeah, the indicator could be most of the... I think the common culprit is the indicator lens is cracked, water gets in there, and then sorts it out, then he can blow the fuse. Or he has a wiring problem, he can blow the fuse. Or even the indicator flasher relay could be a problem. Or maybe it's got the incorrect fuse also in there. You must check the fuse size if the correct fuse amperage is the correct one he has in the vehicle.
But like the brother is saying, replacing the blown fuse will not do a thing. You've got to find the problem, eh?
That's right, sir.
Jazakallah.
See, and there's more on that point. While we are there, just something to correct the listeners out there.
Yeah.
People have got this habit of taking a piece of foil or taking a piece of wire and joining up this fuse that has blown. It is an absolutely dangerous thing to do. Very, very dangerous. Simply because the fuse is there for a particular reason. If perchance, you put in a piece of foil or a wire in there and that cannot blow. What's going to then happen is it's going to start heating up those wires, and the wiring, the insulation starts melting, and you can have a nice dry fire in your car, because that is a very, very dangerous thing to do. That is why designated fuses are very, very critical. Make sure you put the right thing. You might get someone on the side of the road who says, look, I'm going to help you out. It's just going to take you wherever you need to get to. It is still dangerous, no matter whether it's 1 minute or whether it's 1 hour. To play with fuses and the correct designated fuses, please don't do something like that. Obviously, if your fuses are blowing, then you have a problem, which is genuinely a problem. So, guys? Don't do any of these funny things, especially now that the holidays are coming up. Don't do any of these funny things because you might fry yourself in your car.
Other question coming through with regards to safeguarding one's car during the summer holiday season, how important is it to check your car's battery? Because we believe that high temperatures and higher than normal loads due to running the aircon excessively because of the heat, this can cause the battery to wear out and fail much, much faster.
Jim, also, it's a good point brought up, especially with the amount of heat we've been having recently. A few tips we can give to the listeners, in the heat. Number one is if you park in your vehicle, always make sure, try and find a shady area to park your vehicle.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, especially on the hot days. I mean, it's not very easily sometimes at the malls also. So normally park in underground parking, you know, in, instead of the outside parking. And even if you got to park outside, maybe try and find a shady area, maybe under a tree or something. That can help cool most of the components on your vehicle. You must remember when heat attacks a vehicle, all in different places. Normally the paintwork, the leatherwork in
exactly,
the car.
Yeah.
And you can see dashboards start cracking, not over a short period, but over a long period of time. You can see when the car's really been looked after, you know, buying shade nets or buying car covers, you know, especially when you're parking your cars overnight or during the day, that can help also. And make sure that all your fluid levels, especially when the heat, your coolant level, the antifreeze, not only used for antifreeze, even to keep the coolant cooler in summer. So as far as regard to the battery is concerned, I mean, my advice is to protect the battery, especially on the heat. The heat can really cause effect to a vehicle in every way, you know, even to human beings, to animals.
Mm. So what about the tires, Alil, on a hot day, you know, driving, you know, with tires? Does it affect the tires also?
You know, the rubbers heat up quicker. You can even witness it by checking your tire pressures. You know, if you drive off, you check your tire pressure, and you come to your destination, check your tire pressure. It increases about 2 or 3 bar, you know, and especially on a hot day, blowouts are more vulnerable of having it happening. So my advice is keeping the vehicle cool. If you have an air conditioner in your car, try and use it to keep yourself cool. Also, can reduce your fatigue and, you know, the hotness and the tiredness. Also, if you're driving now, the holiday season coming up shortly, also the when you're parking the vehicle off, and if you don't find a shady area, try and leave the windows, say, about 2-3 millimeters open, so at least the air can flow through the vehicle. Because if you notice, if you come back on a hot day to jump in your vehicle, immediately you guys with spectacles, your whole glasses must up, and then, you know, you start sweating immediately because of the heat. And, you know, those are like normal tips that we forget. You know, we take it for granted, park the car here in the sun and we're going in quickly. But really, over a long period of time, you'll really do a great help to your car and to yourself.
Just coming to your point, Mawlana.
Can we just take our call, Abdul Haq?
No problem.
Jazakallah, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shibin.
I just want to give a bit of feedback concerning the earlier caller who asked between the Mawlana and Kashkai.
Yeah, okay.
If she could consider a Ford Kuga or one of the Ford ranges which are similar in size to the one that she's looking at. Because I find
you
get much more value for money.
Okay.
Okay.
Very interesting. Yes, Jazakallah for the advice.
Right.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I agree with the sister. You know, a lot of times Ford is very underrated.
Underrated, G.
And it's an excellent vehicle, Musa.
Excellent,
know, yeah, the whole range of Ford, even the Ford Ranger, the Ford Fiesta, the Ford Focus, you know, there are people really, and you know, they made the new Ford Everest now. They just launched the Ford Everest now. Nice looking van,
nice,
you know.
Nice
and a lot of people, I think most of our, you know, Nissan, Toyota, Mercedes, BMW, we stuck on it.
Yeah,
but you know, there's new ranges, and it's good. This is to brought up the point because I know Ford, I'll vouch for Ford, I mean, really.
But actually, as beautiful as this Ford Ranger double cab buggy.
Nice, nice van. Even
wild
Ford,
track.
Gee,
the Ford, nice,
see,
nice, nice.
You see, the thing is, back in the day.
Every time I see them on the road, astaghfirullah, my bad, nizzle falls on those cars.
Yeah, you see, it's not like back in the day.
This is wild track.
Gee, the wild track. I picture myself going hunting and fishing. Gee,
oh, lovely. No, just coming back, it's not like back in the day where you had to speak Afrikaans to buy a Ford, you know?
Yeah.
It's a new South Africa, everybody can buy a Ford. Just coming back to that point Brother Ari was making regarding the leaving the windows open for a couple of millimeters.
Yeah.
The other thing that is very, very noticeable, if you have a crack on your windscreen and if your windows are fully closed, you'll find that when you come back, that crack more than likely will expand.
Yeah.
So if you don't leave room for expansion, that crack is going to expand. So, you know, it's advisable if you know for yourself, besides cooling the car down, it's going to prevent your windscreen, the crack, running further.
Lovely. Jazakallah. Line number 2, we have a call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
See, my brother.
Mawlana, it's a bit of a bias one. I'm from the Nissan dealership. Regarding the inquiry from the client between a person inquiring about the Murano and the
Qashqai. Yeah.
The two cars are actually completely different. The Murano is actually a very luxury vehicle. It's in the class of probably even the X5 and even probably the Porsche and so forth. In terms of features, it offers much more.
Okay.
It's only available in petrol, It's quite heavy on petrol, like all other cars that size.
Yeah.
It's a super luxury vehicle, and people that can afford it will probably be able to enjoy.
What's the price going on these Muranos, brother?
The Muranos should be close to about 600,000 at the moment.
Gee.
And it's a vehicle. It has a 5-year maintenance plan, so it's not maintenance is not a question if you're going to keep it for 5 years. If you're going to keep it for much longer than that, then obviously it's going to be much more expensive after that. But it's not a car that really gives problems when it's, you know, for 5 years. It's a very good vehicle.
Okay, what about the Qashqais?
The Qashqais are very popular. It was last year contender for Car of the Year. It was the economy, our experience with customers that have it at the moment. It's excellent. We have very little problems. It's a supercar. In terms of features, it actually has no comparison with whatever there is. And I'm saying that biased. I'm a motor dealer and I'm a Nissan dealer.
Yeah.
So, you know, they must take it with a pinch of salt. But I think the best would be to drive the two vehicles and compare the vehicle feature for feature in terms of reliability as well.
Inshallah.
The price difference?
The reports, in fact, Nissan took the top award in terms of quality.
Yeah.
In the last year's report from Ipsos as well. So it's in terms of that, it's good. You know, both the vehicles, but they're two completely different vehicles. So buying a Murano should not consider Qashqai, and the Qashqai customer should not be considering Murano, two different vehicles.
All right, inshallah, interesting. What about the Qashqais? What are they selling for?
Well, they start at about 287,000 rand, and then they go up to about 420,000 rand. There's a whole lot of features on the one. You get, you know, basically you get heated seats, electric seats, leather. It's a very fancy in terms of your the technology on the data and so forth. We call it a tech model. It has such so many features that there is a new Facebook and things like that you can play on the vehicle and so forth. So it's got lots of features. The best is for a salesman from our dealership from any Nissan dealership to explain to people what it is if they're looking at a Qashqai.
Well, maybe you should borrow it to us for a weekend. Eh?
You're welcome. I drive one, you can drive. You can have it.
Another question coming through while we have you on the program. MashaAllah, I think you really know your work. There's an SMS coming through. The brother wants to purchase one of the older X-Trail. It's a diesel. Would you recommend buying, I think, the 2003 model X-Trails for about 60,000 rands? Diesel or petrol, what would you go for?
Petrol, obviously, in the long term, reliability-wise, it's a better option. If it's the old 2.2 vehicle, if it's well-maintained, and, you know, if you need to check that engine out. If it has been well maintained and if it's still in a good condition, those vehicles were very good. We had very little problems with them. But I know that with time, if it hasn't been very well maintained, it can become very costly to maintain that vehicle. Now, brothers, the panelists are experts at that. They'll probably tell you that. So if it's in a good condition, yes, it's a pleasure to use. It's an extremely light on fuel and it's got lots of power. The new ones, the later ones are 2-liter. And they were just as good. We had no problems with them. We used them for a long time ourselves as well.
Okay. Now, Brother Jazakallah, before you terminate, I saw an advert of McCarthy Nissan Woodmead. I like the way they put it. Does the thought of servicing your Nissan scare the heck out of you? Come to us. We'll be gentle with you and your wallet. Nice, ain't it?
That's good, yeah.
So, Brother Jazakallah, leave your telephone number and name of the engineer.
Inshallah.
Allah reward you, my brother. Allah give you barakah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Yes,
JazakAllah for the advice. This is what we're looking at. Inshallah, give us a call on 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers for questions 082-580-8070, and also for the suggestions and comments, and also alternately 48855. Now, before the brother phone, mashallah, Brother Adil and Abdul Haq gave some lovely advices with regards to safeguarding your car during this holiday season. You know, it's quite hot. And extreme temperatures, like the brothers are saying, or the heat waves, are certainly not good for your car.
No.
You know, they spoke about parking your car in the coolest spots possible, and you know, exposure to the sun, like Adil saying, can have a negative effect on your vehicle's frame. They spoke about, you know, the keeping the track of your tire wear, and a few important measures. And also very important is check your car's fluids, that it's all topped out. All right, Abdul Haq.
Coming back to the tires, you know, correct inflation and things like that, especially on a long journey, it is advisable to check your tire pressure prior to leaving on a long journey. Once you're on a long journey and you've now, those tires are hot, it is not advisable to check and correct tire pressure at that point in time. So Before you leave for the journey, check the tire pressure. Not on the journey when you're halfway through and those tires are hot. Don't do that, because then you're going to get a whole lot of incorrect readings because of, you know, the expansion from the heat and things like that. The other question, you know, Brother Ariel, I just got today. I know you're more expert on this sort of thing, is with these run flats. One brother said to me, I'm not even going to buy the new BMW because they don't have a spare wheel.
In fact, your brother mentioned the day before yesterday he had a breakdown just outside Rustenburg, and he got help after 5 hours. Gee.
Yeah, he says he's not going to buy the new BMW because it doesn't have a spare wheel. Because they run on run flats. What's your sort of opinion? Have you had any experience on these run flats, or I mean, what do we tell somebody that's talking about run flats? I'm very
Yeah, you see, the run flat is designed more for, I think, freeway driving, not for rural areas. Because if you drive in a run flat and if you get a blowout on a run flat, if your tire is totally shattered, there's no way that the run flat is going to work, because the run flat is only when a tire goes flat, it will still run you wherever you need to go to. So basically, if you cut your tire or you hit a pothole and you slit the tire, it's gone. Then you cannot drive the car because the run flat won't work.
That's exactly what I thought.
You see, so then, like you said, the brother in Rustenburg had to wait for 5 hours to help because his run flat didn't help him. So maybe they didn't put all that into consideration before they made the run flat tire for South African market. I don't know. And a lot of people I heard also with the same issue with the run flat. Yes, the run flat will work if there's a punch or a nail goes into your tire, or you get a small gash in the tire where you can still continue to your nearest local tire dealer or something. But as far as the tire is cut,
in run flats, how many kilos do they last for then?
I think it depends on what, 50 or 60 kilometers until you can get to your nearest. But you can actually drive them. It's designed in such a way that the rubber runs onto the rim and you can drive it like a normal, but you can't really drive high speeds with it.
No, not at all. It's just basically to limp you home.
Correct, yeah. So and even if there's no space for another tire, so even you have to get another run flat tire, where do you put your other tire?
Yeah, that's why I said to the brother, you know, it's a very, very interesting question. I mean, he actually called me this morning. He says, you know, I need to change my car, but you know, I'm not happy with run flats. And I said to him, yeah, you know, run flat is not something that's going to say 100% guarantee you don't have a problem. And like Ariel says now, you know, if your tire is shredded, you also shredded.
Right. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Gee.
Walaikum salam.
See, my brother.
I just wanted to ask, on a call 5.
Yeah.
On the screen, it gives me an error message of right left beam defective.
Yes.
Something to do with the lights.
Yes.
I don't know, what is it exactly?
The left beam is
your headlight lobe.
Is your headlight lobe, yeah.
Okay.
Is it a xenon light or a normal light?
It's a xenon one.
Oops. Yeah, xenon light. Then it's going to be a little expensive, yeah.
Yeah, but it just make dua, it's the globe, not the control module.
So it's basically you just switch headlights on and go and see in front which one is not working. You tell the left front and just see if it's working or not working.
Okay, because it's only the one that's not working.
Yeah, so the left front one will probably not be working because that's what your error message is on the screen. So there's two things that control that light, is the controller and the globe. The controller is more expensive than the globe.
The globe is not cheap either.
The globe is not cheap either. You can probably start at a 500 rand a globe. Hmm. It's supposed to last you a long time, so I don't know. What's the kilometers now on your car?
114.
And how many years do you...
I'd say the globes is under a year old.
You renew them already?
Yeah.
Oops. But what did you renew them with?
I put the Zenons recently. Like I said, under a year ago, I put the Zenons.
Oh, you fitted aftermarket Zenon globes?
Yeah.
Do you go over speed bumps a lot?
No, not really.
And you mean also what quality you put there?
I can't really recall, but it was an expensive globe.
You mean you put the whole kit in the vehicle? Did your car come with Zenon globes, or you put it in the aftermarket?
Aftermarket.
Yeah, you must just see that when you fitted them correctly, because if they're not fitted in properly into the socket, if they move around, then you're going to blow the filament also.
Okay.
So just make sure that you whoever fitted them for you, they're properly securely in the socket.
Okay.
They mustn't move around. It mustn't be loose. If they're going to be loose, then it's not going to last long. Because that thing mustn't shake. It must be very stiff when it's further into the socket.
Okay.
That's why I ask you, if you don't go over speed bumps a lot. Because if you go over speed bumps quickly, also you're going to damage those globes.
Okay,
my brother.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If it doesn't work, just use normal house bulbs and try it out. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, nobody there. Call us on 854-1548. The SMS numbers are 48855. And alternately, 082 580 8070 G. Question here, brothers. It says, salam alaikum. Is there any truth that the VW Tiguan, Jetta, Golf that used a 1.4 TSI motor, brothers, has a very limited lifespan? In other words, it says, the engine seems to blow at around 100,000 kilos.
See, Mulana, coming to that, you know, it's a rather sensitive question. You know, we're not here to promote brands or get brands going down or whatever the case may be. But unfortunately, I'm not blaming the dealerships, nor am I blaming the drivers. But somehow, yes, it seems to be a bit shortened. I find a lot of the VW products, as far as the oil pumps are concerned, we're tending to have some sort of problem, but I can't say whether the product was made defective, whether the driver negligence, or whether the service negligence, but yes, we are tending to pick up these sort of things. I've actually got a VW Charan currently in the shop, and also, you know, the oil pump, it seems to be not giving enough pressure, and with the result, you know, the tappets sound very happy, they're clapping hands inside the engine.
Right, jazakumullah. Let's take it further. The question stating here, it's 7:44 PM, Jim. My vehicle was running fine till last week when I needed to move my boat out of my yard. The engine started sputtering, and while in drive and then dive when trying to accelerate, also I noticed that the belt jumps while the engine is idling. Doesn't say what belt. Fan belt?
Yeah, the belt jumps while the car's idling. It's probably the belt tensioner is faulty. That's what's causing the belt to jump. The clutch spluttering, and it could be a misfire he picked up. Maybe the boat is too heavy to pull out there.
Sounds like Mankara's boat.
No, the belt jumping could be the belt tensioner, because normally on modern day vehicles you have a single belt drive.
Yeah.
That means one belt turns everything on the engine. Like in the olden days, you had one belt for the alternator, one belt for the power steering, one belt for the air conditioner. Now you have one belt that runs everything. And you have a tensioner that tensions the belt to keep the constant movement of all the components, so probably that tensioner is probably wearing out. That's why it's causing the thing to jump, and the spluttering, like we could say, could be a misfire, fuel starvation. That's left to be do a diagnostic check and be checked.
Lovely.
Yeah, it sounds more like Bilal's motorbike. He's going permanently spluttering.
Question, brothers: how can one prevent the disc brake dust from forming? It forms a lot. The brother doesn't say what car.
Yeah, this brake dust from forming also is the quality of pad that he uses on the car. The compound used to make the brake pad, the asbestos used, can play a vital role on the brake dust. So if you buy a better quality, you get asbestos-free brake pads now on the market.
It's supposed to be all.
You get a better compound of brake pad used on the market that can prevent that from happening, from your car being fouled up with brake dust. You can see some of them really does a bad job. The whole mag gets all black in it. So it depends on what quality brake pad you use on your vehicle. Use a better quality, less brake dust.
The other thing, just to add on what brother Adil had mentioned, you know, back in the day you used to get a cover that used to fit inside the rim to prevent the dust that's going onto the rims. Very, very bad exercise. Because what happens is the brakes need some sort of cooling down.
Mm-hmm.
And those covers were preventing the cooling down of the disc itself. And with the result, you had poor braking as well as brake failure and a lot more of the brake shuddering as well. So don't go putting any of these fancy covers that are advertised over your brakes, because that is not meant to be there.
Jazakumullah. Question, brothers, with regards to Hyundai Accent. It says 2011 model, the engine light. I bought a Hyundai Accent about 2 months ago. After 2 weeks, the engine light turned on. I went to the mechanics to check the code. It showed P1124 and P0108, the map sensor. I went back to the dealership and the guy changed the map sensor for me. And after 1 week, he changed the map sensor. The engine light was on again. This time, the OBD code was P1124 and P0722. He wants to know what should he do. Sorry, it's a 2001 Hyundai Accent GL. The kilos are 150,000 kilos G.
See, most of the map sensor is a map, absolute pressure sensor. It sits in the inlet manifold of the engine. Normally, the diagnostic code, you see a lot of people make the mistake when they're doing the diagnostics on a vehicle.
Mm.
The problem that the diagnostic fault or code reader gives you is not actually the problem. it guides you to where the problem could be. So his engine in the manifold could be sucking air, because maybe there's too much pressure in the manifold, or there's too little pressure. That's why the sensor is there, to measure the absolute pressure in the manifold. So what the brother should do is do some tests on the manifold, like when the car's idling, pour some water onto the manifold, see if it's not sucking any air, or it's not blowing out any air, or the pressure is too much or too little in the manifold.
Yeah.
That's what should be checked. So you see, it will tell you the MAF sensor, the MAP sensor, but not necessarily you change it. Those sensors very rarely give you trouble. One out of 10 will probably give you a problem. So the diagnostic should be done correctly. You see, a lot of times the code reader will tell you the fault, and you get happy, you think that's the fault. Most of the time, 99% of the time, is not the fault, because the code reader is not the mechanic. You, the technician, reading the code. So you must do all the basic tests to see if it's really the code or the MAP sensor. It's a bit of a procedure, but it will save your client and all the customers and most of the listeners a lot of money unnecessarily, because if you go to the dealership and if you go to some mechanics, they just change everything and hope for the best.
Yeah. Question coming through on the screen. It says, "Assalamu alaikum. Recently, I bought a 2010 C200 CGL. Ideal your cup of tea. 85,000 kilos on the clock. When cruising, no jerk. But when you drive fast, slight jerk. What could the possible problem be?"
Jim, there could be a lot of possibilities, and with this intermittent problems at high speed or low speed with a jerk. There's a few tests that the listener can do if he's listening over the air. Number one is the grade of petrol he used. So there's a whole list that he can actually do the diagnostics himself, make it easier for the technician.
Yeah.
Is the engine malfunction light coming on? That's number one. If the engine malfunction light coming on, very easy. Take it for a diagnostic test, read the fault, do the necessary diagnostics, and your problem is solved. Number two, if that light's not coming on, it's going to make it a bit more difficult for the technician or whoever's working on the vehicle. See exactly when the jerk is there, at what speed the jerk is there.
Mm.
Is your accelerator being depressed or been released when the jerk is there? How long does the jerk last for?
Mm.
And then when do you notice the jerk? At what temperature the jerk is there? When the engine is cold or warmer? So there's a whole lot of tests that the caller can call us in on, and you know, we can advise him over the air.
Yeah.
Or if he wants to, he can drop me a SMS. It will be helpful to help the guy. It won't be a problem.
My brother, my advice to you is call us, inshallah. We have the experts in the series in the studios.
So this problem may be over the air.
Inshallah, call us on 854-1548. And Brother Adil is willing to give his assistance to you, advices. Abdul-Haq, question coming from my brother. It says, it doesn't say what car, no hot air blowing out when the heater is on.
Oh, okay, mashallah. I'm quite
curious. That's the easy one.
No, I'm quite curious who's using the heater at this time of the year, but nonetheless, more than likely, the heater valve itself, you know, that's the main culprit, or otherwise, your heater valve has a lever inside the car, and that is connected via a wire. And that wire is probably, you know, come off or broken off or something like that, and what a result, that is why it's not moving the heater valve over. So yeah, more than likely those could be your only sort of problems. Yes.
Jazakumullah. Give us a call on the number 854-1548 and the SMS numbers are 0825-8080-70. The question comes through here with regards to air conditioning. Auto air conditioner is just blowing warm air and not cooling. What could be the problem?
The number one problem is no aircon gas in the system, no refrigerant gas.
Yeah.
That's the number one problem. And if there is no refrigerant gas, you should determine why, whether the refrigerant gas leaked out. So basically, we take it for a regas to a professional guy, and if you tell him that, because normally the gas should not leak out.
Yeah, it's not a consumable.
It's not a consumable. Yeah, it shouldn't leak out. It should be there for a long time in your vehicle. Like the fridge gas is exactly the same principle.
Mm.
So basically, you'll put a dye in there, normally green color dye. And he'll fill the gas in, and he'll run a UV light over all the aircon components, and he can actually establish where the gas leak is. But if it's a small gas leak, then they can take the vehicle back after a couple of weeks, and then he can run the UV light across again and see exactly where the leak is. So basically, that's the number one culprit. There's no gas. Or another way is to do a diagnostic test and see if the aircon compressors working, all the necessary components leading to the aircon, the pressure sensors, the aircon lines, the condenser, the dryer bottle, all it is working correctly.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of components in that thing.
Okay, brothers, last question for tonight's program. Earlier we spoke about some car care tips for hot weather driving. What about the levels and the strength of the coolant? Would I be correct in saying that a low coolant level may just allow the engine to overheat?
Yes, see, there's too much coolant in the car, so it could be a problem.
Yeah, I see.
The correct ratio is 60-40.
60-40.
Yeah, 60-40 should be the correct ratio.
60 the coolant.
Yeah, no, for 60 the water, 40 the coolant.
And it's very, very important. I think I mentioned it before. If you keep topping up with coolant, if you have a leak in the car, you keep topping up with the coolant, that is the antifreeze. But remember something, in winter that thing retains heat as well. So with the result, you're going to overheat your car having too much of coolant in there. That is why I always say, if you have a problem and your car says coolant level, put in the water. Just add water all the time until you have the problem sorted.
That's
because
right.
Otherwise you're going to waste the coolant, first of all. Secondly, your system is going to end up with total amount of coolant. And thirdly, it's not going to help cool the car down anyways.
Mm.
So, you know, rather look at just top up with water and get to your workshop or your technician and say, listen, you know what? The car asked for coolant. What is the problem? Maybe there's a leak or whatever the case may be. Let them sort it out and correct the ratio of your coolant and you shouldn't be having a problem thereafter, inshallah.
Lovely, brother. Jazakumullah for the lovely program. Much appreciated, inshallah. And we talk soon again.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana. Jazakumullah khairan, brother Bilal, our wonderful engineer, and everybody else. Alhamdulillah for all the calls, everything. Jazakumullah khairan, inshallah. Allah willing, we will see you same place, same time next week.
Jazakumullah, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And to our listeners, a reminder, inshallah, that we have a telephonic panel discussion this Sunday, the 22nd of November 2015, between 10:30 a.m. and 12 p.m. And we're talking to our guests, inshallah. We're talking about cancer, the different types of cancer, and our guest will be Dr. Ashraf Wadi, oncologist at Donald Gordon Hospital. Yes, Dr. Ashraf Wadi, inshallah, 10:30 to 12 o'clock Sunday morning, oncologist at Donald Gordon. And we're also going to be talking to Professor Michael Herbs. Yes, all about cancer, inshallah, from 10:30 p.m. To 12 o'clock, only on Radio Islam International. All right, from myself, Muhammad Kara, as well, have a lovely weekend until Sunday morning. Fi amanillah, request for du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.